interrupting the current neo-uronial. Climate-challenged, behaviorally controlled, energy-starved, alien-invaded, nuclear-glowing, postulated cricketism to bring behind the woodshed. This is Cricketude Busting Episode BTWRLM596. And remember, being free is not a spectator sport, so get you behind a woodshed, because you don't know what you miss until you get behind a woodshed. And it's pretty much that simple. And anybody who's gotten into this will find that out. On the receiving end or the giving end? And on the giving end, Israel didn't tamper with Hezbollah exploding pagers. It made them. So reports the New York Times. We're looking at this despicable act, and I say that because we continually know that Israel is not actually a valid entity. It may be recognized in the world, but it isn't doing anything as it was supposed to. And the people that it's attacking have a right to defend themselves, but the so-called state of Israel, those that make it up and come underneath the color of a state, are a belligerent occupier. The international law that I read on the air episodes ago explains that these belligerent occupiers do not have a right of self-defense, so they're not supposed to be attacking anybody. However, we're finding out, as I surmise, that these were devices that were built. And whether or not, there's a question of whether or not the cases were, manufactured aftermarket, or whether they were actually marketed, made by the manufacturers, and then stuffed with new material. It's appearing that the battery packs, as I said, were probably the main item that were changed. And inside that package, they could put all kinds of things. But, we have now, at least by certain reports, and again, we're always looking for the better piece of proof, a report Thursday alleged the Hungarian firm that apparently supplied pagers used by Hezbollah was secretly set up by the Israeli spies as part of a wide-scale operation that appeared to culminate this week when devices exploded, killing several, maiming thousands of Hezbollah operatives and others in Lebanon and Syria. The New York Times claimed that rather than merely managing to tamper with the devices at some stage of their production or distribution, Israel actually manufactured them as part of an elaborate ruse. According to the New York Times, the company supplied other firms with pagers as well, though only the ones transferred to Hezbollah were fitted with batteries that contained explosive material known as PETN. The pagers that exploded in Lebanon carried the logo of a Taiwanese company, Gold Apollo, which said BAC was authorized to use its branding. However, it said, quote, the design and manufacturing of the products are solely the responsibility of BAC. BAC listed CEO Christiana Barsoni Archidiacano told NBC News that the firm, which took its website down Wednesday, had nothing to do with the manufacturing of the devices. Quote, I don't make the pagers. I am just the intermediate. I think you got it wrong, she told the U.S. network Wednesday. A Hungarian government spokesman also said the pagers had never been in Hungary and that BAC consultants merely acted as an intermediary. I guess I'm reading all this. Listen very carefully how it's been set up to hide the condition and all the entities or persons, if you will, these legal entities that were created and or used in order to obfuscate the point. Now, I do keep reading here the New York Times is saying this, and I don't know that I'd want to trust what they said, but there's really no other opportunity here to see a different way that this could have happened, actually. So, for the time being, I'm going to use it as the truth and go with it and just understand you could see that happening, that they would have had to restuff all these components. It would be easier just to open them up and just replace out certain parts. Don't try to add a little bit here and there. And I think it's Hezbollah just did some checking on two units, and they said they're quite something they'd never seen before. So somebody went through a lot of this and talked about it. Again, being in R&D, you can make this stuff in a lab, you figure it out, and then it's just a matter of production, just setting it up and getting it done. Images of the exploded walkie-talkie showed labels bearing the name of Japanese radio communications and telephone company ICOM, ICOM 6208. The company, which said it manufactures all of its radios in Japan, said Thursday the model was manufactured and shipped to the Middle East from 2004 to 2014, but had not shipped by the company since then. It said batteries for the devices were also no longer being manufactured. The company has previously warned about counterfeit versions of its devices circulating in the market, especially discontinued models. Quote, a hologram seal to distinguish counterfeit products was not attached, so it is not possible to confirm whether the product shipped from our company, it said, referring to the devices that exploded. It promised to offer more information as it investigated. So I'm reading that part also. Very interesting to look out for counterfeit units. And they tell us there that there's a hologram of their image on that device. And if you get one, again, this is to alleviate a bit of the fear. This may very well have been a very targeted operation, but it's not known. And a lot we can't now know about that. And that's the whole point about being knowledgeable. You start understanding what may or may not be addressed here. Based on all this, then the U.S. sends additional forces to the Middle East as tensions soar, Pentagon says. So this is, to me, a plan. This has been set up. It didn't take but a few hours, it seemed, that all this was going on. We're having, as I reported, the expeditionary naval ships going in, they said, for humanitarian purposes. We never heard any more about that. But then they have this, more boots are going on the ground. Now, the United States troops, as I said was going to happen, is now being sent, and I understand they're sending over another aircraft carrier and some more troops after this story, but the United States is sending a small number of additional troops to the Middle East given escalating tensions between Israel and Lebanon's Hezbollah, the Pentagon said Monday, declining to specify the precise number of mission of the deployed forces. Quote, out of abundance of caution, we are sending a small number of additional U.S. military personnel forward to augment our forces that are already in the region, Air Force Major General Patrick Ryder, a Pentagon spokesman, told reporters. Ryder would not say how many forces would be deployed or what they would be tasked to do. The U.S. now has about 40,000 troops in the region, if you thought there was only 900 over in Syria. So an abundance of caution would have had the Zionist Federation stop its genocide, and now it's turning that tactic to Lebanon. An abundance of caution wouldn't put American soldiers in harm's way for a rabid, belligerent occupier that commits war crimes. You don't have to remind me that I told you that was coming months ago. So this is predictable. These people in Washington and Israel are warmongering, genocidal psychopaths. Your sons and daughters are now going to harm's way for a lie, international crimes, and a untold, though openly secret, plan for Israel to not only be the aircraft carrier for the United States, but for the Zionist Federation to take over the Middle East, at least a lot of it, for the so-called Greater Israel, as we've been able to read and find. Now they're in Lebanon. They're doing the same identical thing they did to Gaza. And I'm just watching this, wondering, when are the nations going to step up? There's more and more pressure coming, and so that's a good news. But more importantly, I was looking through some of the posts. There's already everybody saying, well, Hezbollah was set up to counter this. I'm asking, where's Hezbollah? And we had the question about Hamas. What was that set up for? Well, we found out Bibi Satan Yehu set that up a bit. They funded that stuff. And I surmised that, well, it looks like maybe Hamas decided they were going to go the other way, not to continue the way they had been set up in order to aid Israel. There's also the alternative that by what they did, they're aiding Israel. You watch what they're doing now. But they're now moving. And the United States is not stopping it one little bit. The ICJ came out and said, no, the nations are obligated to stop this as well. When it's not stopping on its own. We see now it went to the UN. UN members vote to demand Israel to end occupation of Palestinian territories within 12 months. So let's watch how this UN is just useless at number one point. Number two, it may want to say words, but no action comes. And right in the title, Palestinian territories clean it up in 12 months? How about immediately? As we watch the UN being a tool for the West as well. This is not for those of us that believed in peace on earth and all that stuff. And I know that sounds naive, but that's understood that people can be peaceful and that we should be pushing for that in first place, not allow atrocities to happen endlessly. And then maybe only a few entities in the world able to do that are allowed to do that is the other problem. But we could nip it in the bud. The guy running the new UN, he's criticizing the fact that this is going on. And I say, well, he's I said, and? I responded back to him, okay, you tell us all this harm happening, and? You're sitting in a position that you could sanction like they did South Africa. The nation of South Africa was sanctioned for apartheid. Why don't we do it to Israel immediately? No, they don't do this stuff. So be careful when I'm pointing this stuff out. And it looks like it's on its way going along and it may be making some things. Look at the hesitations when there's a house of fire, you start putting that fire out. You don't wait around for a bunch more people in 12 months to come and stop it on their own when they're not willing to. And now we see the evidence that Lebanon is being bombed under the excuse that they're going after Hezbollah. And again, we don't know the status of the Hezbollah. If they're public, which they are part of the government like Hamas in Gaza, then they're not supposed to be attacked anyway. And again, it's the same excuse. We're attacking full apartment buildings because there's weapons in the basements. And yet it comes out that they're really not there. So this is enough. The United States says, oh, weren't told that we didn't know and didn't see. Well, at some point that penny has to drop and that witness has to be made. And we're going to find out that there's an agent inside our United States government that's supposed to be able to make those observations that apparently is blind and dumb and maybe not so dumb because he does go to UN and say wrong things and does not support peace at all. And this is point it out to the military industrial complex. But this vote at the UN, we're now getting better concurrence, and I think it's important. Whether or not it becomes effectual is a problem, but it's at least those of us that thought that we're seeing a problem and we're leading quickly to we're beyond actually nuclear war. It's just a matter of when those that are forbearing from pushing their cherry red buttons to let it go, when they will lose their patience. And in this case, we're talking Russia. But this is going on and on and on, and it's going to envelop more people, more countries, more people that have to make these decisions. And you can see the bully is trying to press all the buttons so it starts to happen. The point is that people are dying in this world if that goes there. There's not going to be really a limited nuclear response to any of this, the way this starts to work out. And we're talking of two nuclear powers at this point, one with an open secret, and the other one is one of the biggest powers. The vote comes after the United Nations top court, the International Court of Justice, said in July that Israel's presence in the West Bank and East Jerusalem is illegal, and called on Israel to end its decades-long occupation of territories claimed by Palestinians for a future state. Again, reading this stuff, I just have to hesitate. All these jaded words that they're using, they don't talk about Palestine, for a future state, as if they're going to split it down. There really isn't a two-state solution. That's what the West wants. This was supposed to happen. The Palestinian territory was supposed to be whole for the Palestinian government, and they were supposed to assimilate the Jewish people. And that has never happened. And then we had really quickly early on back in the 1940s, the Nabka, which was a displacement and should have been stopped then. But we don't see that happening. And I'm clearly of the attitude here anymore. If I had any questions a long time ago, what we see out there is happening to us in the United States and any other country they want to call democracy, as I've been talking about all this and explaining it all to you. It's happening to you. And we may not see our own genocide. Well, we maybe don't perceive that the Great Covid Swindle may have been that on a global scale as well. And look at the Israeli CEOs and companies that are investment groups that are involved with all that as well. So this is the things I'm speaking to, whether someone may hear that or not. When I'm speaking about these stories, I'm actually looking at all these things going on that are indicative of some global genocidal psychopaths. And all I see coming out of it is a bunch of talking, essentially. Except for maybe the Houthis. And then we look and see, how effective are you actually? I appreciate the resistance there, but how effective are you actually? In its advisory opinion, ICJ said Israel should end its occupation as rapidly as possible. The UN's resolution gives 9-month timeline. Riyad Mansour, Palestinian ambassador to the UN, called the vote a turning point, quote, in our struggle for freedom and justice. Let me just interject there. Wasn't supposed to be a struggle. And this is the main failure about all this. Everyone wants to go about arguing, oh, Israel this, Israel that, Palestine this, Hamas that. No, this is supposed to stop. It wasn't supposed to be a struggle. When we went to struggle, we violated every principle of international law, as far as I can tell. And we agreed that abusers will have the day. And it's continuing until that gets stopped. And if the abusers have the day, then when we start looking at what's important to national security here at home, you're going to be the abused. The resolution was put forward by an observer state, Palestine, which was granted new privileges to have a complaint, including the right to submit proposals in the assembly in May. But 12 months. Think about that. What's going on? Who's going to be left if they keep it up for 12 more months? Look what's happening, how quickly it's going on in Lebanon. People are just dying left and right. Lots of stories about the Hezbollah militants being destroyed, and we find out that some are, but not a lot. But who, as I said, who does this guy, the Secretary of State, really work for? The U.S. Congress plans to punish Blinken for not showing up on the day of the U.N. General Assembly. So we have this official in the State Department, supposed to be the face of the United States in dealing with these terrible situations in the world. And he decides he's going to go to the UN General Assembly and make a speech. International Affairs Committee and U.S. House of Representatives voted to hold U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken accountable for failing to testify on the day he spoke at the United Nations, according to the result of the votes. On September 24, 2024, Secretary Blinken did not properly comply with the agenda sent to him on September 18th about testifying as part of the investigation into the withdrawal of troops from Afghanistan and subsequent of evacuation, the committee document says. Blinken's refusal to testify and answer a congressman's questions, quote, deserves punishment for disrespect to Congress. 26 committee members considered, 25 opposed. The majority of the committee, as well as the House as a whole, belongs to the Republicans, and it went that way to hold accountability. But as we've seen, what is that accountability? And this is where the big hang-up and the hook-up is. When you live in a representative government, the people have no real voice. The only voice you have is to your representative, and they're making these decisions. How 25 opposed holding an official accountable for dereliction of duty to the Congress, I don't even understand. And this is we look at all these points of failure, and there's not much more to say than why we're in the position we're in. And these people that are not held accountable are the ones making the decisions and pushing and poking the bear, who just changed their nuclear policy. This is a very serious set of circumstances developing at this point. According to the current procedures, the committee's complaint now moves to the level of the entire House of Representatives, where it will be another attempt by the Republicans to harm the current Democratic administration. If the chamber supports the initiative, the case will go to the U.S. Department of Justice, which in turn may initiate legal proceedings against Blinken, which I hope you heard in that was a little slight support for the Democrats, not neutral news reporting as well. I don't know that the Republicans are doing it for harming them. It could be, but I'm still at the beginning of that statement. Where was he when he was ordered to testify and didn't show up to testify somewhere, but it went to the UN, someplace he really ought not have been? Not relative to the information that the Congress needed, because they're actually paying his job, aren't they? And this is the other thing. They have the power of the purse, and we don't see it actually being used. But it goes where? Your Department of Justice. And Attorney General Garland works for who? Yeah, so maybe let's not hold our breaths quite yet on this so-called accountability. And I think a lot of us are actually looking at this. It's just a big, again, we're back to the Kabuki Theater. Just to hold the attention of people that will have their attention held, and there's no real forceful outcry, which is still possible to do something with that. We found that way back when I started broadcasting with Republic Broadcasting, the network, my very first network, and we could get lots of people, thousands and thousands and thousands of them, burn the phones up at Washington, and we'd see changes. It doesn't go all the way what you want, but it does go, it can slow stuff up, it can stop things, it can change attitudes, and so that was kind of interesting to watch. Haven't seen anything like that happen since then, but it definitely needs to be one of the things that goes on in all of this. But back to the bid to ensure Trump attacks Iran because the deep state says so. Right before the second event of the assassination and attempt event, as the first, we hear the stories Iran done it, as Putin did it before. But this is a little puzzler here. Failed assassin offered $150,000 bounty to kill Trump. Ryan Wesley Ruth, 58, was arrested on September 15th after being spotted near a Trump-owned golf course in Florida. Police found a Soviet-made rifle, a GoPro camera, and a backpack with armor plates in his makeshift hideout. Quote, this was an assassination attempt on Donald Trump, but I failed you. I tried my best and gave it all the gumption I could muster. It is up to you now to finish the job, and I will offer $150,000 to whomever can complete the job," said the handwritten note Ruth allegedly left in a box at someone's home. The federal prosecutors included the note as evidence that Ruth should remain in jail pending trial. According to the filing, Ruth had left a box at the home of an unnamed individual in the weeks preceding his alleged attempt to kill Trump. The person opened the box following Ruth's arrest and alerted the authorities last week, the Department of Justice said. So riddle me this. What does it mean that he writes a letter saying he failed the assassination attempt before the attempt? And saying, but I failed you. Who is you that he is telling he failed before he even begins? And why did the unnamed individual wait to open the package until after the arrest and not immediately after receiving the package, which would have exposed the intention to assassinate Trump and the plan to fail? And this you that they're speaking to is not the unnamed individual or interested in the money offer there. Otherwise, we'd have heard of another arrest for a conspiracy, wouldn't we? Just curiouser and curiouser. Does my listener have any idea in what plausible scenario these facts would make sense? And the article goes on to update us on the prior assassination attempt. Trump had narrowly escaped death almost exactly 2 months before on July 13th in Butler, Pennsylvania. A 20-year-old man had fired off at least 8 shots from the rooftop of a Republican candidate, held a rally, nicking Trump's ear and killing one audience member while seriously wounding 2 others. The would-be assassin, Thomas M. Crooks, was killed by the U.S. Secret Service and his body quickly cremated. His social media, remember, FBI, all the evidence goes to the FBI to die. His social media accounts have been scrubbed and the FBI has offered no information about his motive or connections. The FBI, where evidence goes to die, no further information of the motives, still, as I talked about those and the potential, if you will, simple motive that was then used as a kid as a patsy. This does not disprove Occam behind the woodshed and the professed shooter being the patsy that I was saying then. But who is that patsy? They mentioned here Matthew Crooks. Is it Matthew Crooks or Maxwell Yurick? In either case, we're missing a body. And so you make of it what you will. I'm trying to figure out who's the storytellers. And we want to talk about accountability. We already heard that these so-called intelligence agencies are not being held accountable. And when you try to, we have figured out, and most of you have doing any study about this, again, what I say, we have the house of the compromise. The Congress is completely compromised and compromisable. And so, and if those of you that aren't, then you have your wife die, like Thomas Massey just did, it seems, when he started to out, I think it was AIPAC, in the Israeli connection, which I suggested is Iran done it. And they impressed upon Trump by loading the news and sending it to a campaign that Iran done it. And they did it the second time. And the second event, non-event that was going to fail, they piped it up again that Iran was going to done it. And then we heard almost exact proof that of what I was saying. Now it's said that Trump, if he becomes president, will anybody who attacks us, their Iran cities will be obliterated. And so this is before they even get into anything. So I'm just wondering now, the only thing I'm hoping out of this is, if Trump a player or played? And so we have that question. Is he that aware and wise that he knows how to hold them and fold them? And right now he's got to hold them. And when he gets elected, then he can go ahead and look around on who was actually attacking? I don't know. We'll see. These evidences of domestic deep state elections interferences, because as they testified before in Congress, the U.S. intelligence agencies don't and haven't found any foreign influence. We have this report, TikTok likely coerced into scrubbing Sputnik ahead of pivotal U.S. vote to get feds off their back. So here we are again, even media systems are compromised. They're compromised by the governments that we thought were supposed to be constrained by a constitution. We now see, as the lawyers would do, the Eternals, they use the law as warfare. And we saw a little bit of that, if it's not exactly the point, on the murder memo, when an attorney made a decision that people could be extrajudicially killed without due process or anything else. No one challenged it. It hasn't been challenged. And then we saw Obama go ahead and kill off some American citizens without due process. Hugely popular video sharing platform TikTok removed Sputnik and International's account without warning on Saturday, providing no explanation for its decision. Sputnik asked a leading U.S. military and intelligence analyst, the former Washington Insider, about the likely motive of the move. While it has no legal leg to stand on and an utter lack of domestic support for a ban on TikTok, what the U.S. State Department does has unlimited resources with which to prosecute TikTok as a company, and the latter may have chosen to cooperate with the state by scrubbing Sputnik's channel to try to get the feds off their backs, retired Pentagon analyst Karen Kwiatkowski told Sputnik. Of course, the better choice for Americans would be for TikTok to refuse to cooperate, forcing federal government's hand. If the incredibly popular, useful TikTok were to be banned in response to their refusal to remove selective overseas media, it would wake up the masses in a diminished state of their liberties, she suggested. Yeah, I don't know about that, but it'd be interesting to see if that really would happen. But this is, again, do you arrest a crime or do you aid and abet it? Citing the ability of alternative news sources to break through establishment narratives using social media, including to provide an alternative outsider's take on U.S. politics and candidates' respective foreign policy decisions, Kwiatkowski predicted that, quote, any reversal of this unwarranted ban on Sputnik will happen only after the vote, with the restrictions thus serving as a direct example of the DOJ interfering with the election and undermining the concept of an informed citizenry prior to an election. So I ask again, who does Merrick work for? Attorney General Merrick. Who is he working for? We're looking for an accountability. He's the first ones that have to be checked. And they try to do that, but it doesn't seem like it's going to go forward. So the deep state includes your Congress. And this is where the state of the country. The deep state needs total hegemony in the information arena, just as with the financial and military power, Kwiatkowski explained. Understand what she just said there. It's the same thing I've been talking about in those three areas as well. Cognitive warfare, information dominance, financial dominance. You watch how they mess that up, what's happening now in the world. But that has a different plan going on as well. It's going to allow something else in the future. And the military power, which appears to be on the wane at this point because of these dumb decisions that the United States government is doing. They didn't have to put themselves here, but they are. The U.S. leadership team believes that they can manage all narratives and limit the flow of evidence that contradicts the current narrative. How about not just contradict, limit the flow, but eliminate the evidence? Domestically, this has worked well, and we saw with an instant domestic media reversal on the health and performance of Joe Biden internationally, this control is more of a challenge. Furthermore, the state actually has little choice but to continue its attempts to control the narrative and suppress the harmful impacts of its actions both at home and abroad, according to The Observer, since the United States today is more and more coming to resemble a failed state, suffering from ballooning debt and electoral system and the government lacking transparency and a leadership taking huge risks with the economy and American security through their foreign and domestic policies. Lastly, the CIA and the service surveillance sector of government, which has long specialized in the manipulation of information abroad and to a significant extent domestically, is more powerful than ever. Well, Smith-Mundt Modernization Act, correct? Right there. But she's telling us pretty much straight up what we can find if we were any kind of researcher and doing study on this. She's confirming this about everything I've talked about here, what some of these problems are, and pointing out they're all coming to a head, if you will. And they're organized behind, and there's no accountability. There's no stopping it at this point. This world very much requires the suppression of information and the shaping of truth in order to succeed, Kwiatkowski stressed. The federal government and the Justice Department operate using a legal, dubious, unwritten code of conduct, pointing out that there's no legal requirement to ban foreign news sources, and that virtually all the executive branch's various bans, boycotts, embargoes, and other restrictions are unlawful under the Constitution. And interject, what's unlawful if it continues? And this is the problem with how this country was set up. Likewise, the modern U.S. surveillance state uses IT, telecommunications, and social media companies as their extra-constitutional tool to directly violate the First and Fourth Amendments that do not allow federal interference in the conduct of speech, movement, beliefs, assembly, redress of government, and the security of or body, property, and communications. Can I just say the great COVID swindle right there as well? This is not the only thing that's going on in all this. This is the method how they destroy people in a population. Then we the people are essentially allowing it. We fight amongst ourselves instead of going after the foe that should have never been allowed to get this kind of control. This is the world that TikTok and all social media companies operate in. Do what the government tells you or face market losses and criminal prosecution that, while ultimately winnable, can bankrupt most businesses. And despite the denial of foreign interference to Congress, the giant squid persists here to speak through the other side of its beaky-toothed mouth. We hear the United States Department of Justice has said that Moscow remains the primary threat to elections. No, as long as that Smith-Mundt Modernization Act exists, Western media, including social media and the U.S. government and its military-industrial complex and the intelligence agencies, is the primary threat to elections and the very lives here of us, the American people. That's what the Smith-Mundt Modernization Act did. These entities are the operatives engaging in covert influence operations, and some such of as the military writing on their cognitive warfare against us have admitted as well. The U.S. war profiteers bring world to brink of Armageddon. The military-industrial complex now threatens not only public investment, but human civilization itself, according to an author and professor, Dr. Ken Hammond. Well, I'm very glad he agrees. Doesn't take a special professor to see what's going on in the world right now, and that we're sitting literally on the edge. I think it was Kim.com mentioned we've never been closer. I said, I think we're past it. We're just waiting for Russia to stop forbearing to act. They've already told us that the lines have been crossed. And so we're past that point. That nuclear clock, I think we went past. But it's just because Putin is standing up there with his finger on it, holding it back, it is why we're not glowing. And worse. As I say that, I was just watching a movie called Threads in 1984. You might want to watch that. Refresh your mind on what nuclear war is about and look at that movie, but understand it's likely worse. And all the critiques about it said that, yeah, that was a straight up, this is what's going to happen in nuclear war, but it gets worse than what we even see. Look it up. Watch it. Threads, 1984. It was a highly critically acclaimed, if you look for representing what a nuclear war is about. Go look at that. And prepare yourself, if you can. In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought by the military-industrial complex. Such were the words of a former president, Dwight D. Eisenhower, a moderate Republican who previously served in the Army as a supreme commander of Allied forces in Europe during World War II. Like Major General Smedley Butler, who served in the armed forces one generation before him, Eisenhower saw the nexus of private profit and military might firsthand. His successive political experience led him to coin his now famous term for the phenomenon, which in early drafts of his farewell address, he called the military-industrial congressional complex. The scourge of war profiteering was already well understood in Eisenhower's day, with journalists having castigated the merchants of death, who armed all sides in World War I and the War of the Pacific, but economic development since the 1940s have accelerated the trend for military contractors to provide mercenaries, siphoning off billions of dollars in taxpayer funds. The military-industrial complex now threatens not only public investment, but human civilization itself, according to the author and professor, Dr. Ken Hammond. The expert in East Asia and global history joins Sputnik's Critical Hour program Tuesday to discuss how the influence of weapons manufacturers has brought the world to the brink of war with Russia and China. I can't even imagine what I'm reading right there. How do we get this far along? But let me go back. He said the military-industrial complex now threatens. No, let's go back to Eisenhower. The military-industrial congressional complex. Those monies do not get appropriated without a representative of you saying so. And this is where us being quiet maybe bring upon us. You should go watch that movie Threads. Pretty stark. So what do I say here on this next abomination as we continue the war against people, just in every sector, with the help of the United States government in all these aspects? We would think that maybe they were contrary to any of it, but actually the government regime is not. Anybody who listens to me, you can look at what in the world, you can look this back. What they're doing now is not much different than the method they did to a Lincolnization of America. It's fascinating the repetition that they used in moving societies through to and through the brink of disasters and then fix it all up, and then societies keep going. And all the time, the banksters or whoever they are, whoever the controllers are profiting in one way or another. Anyway, what should I say about this next thing? One thing I did notice about it, though, being done that is extremely troubling is on these articles and these documents that at least I read and see people commenting on. People read them, these deceptive words that you see, but they don't see any danger in them. I've read quite a few people responding to this very document that say they read it, they read all of it. And I have to commend that because it's hard to read some of this stuff, but they didn't see a problem with it. And then they twist it over, well, just a bunch of conspiracy theorists that don't, you know, that are just sensationalizing. But the deceptive words is what they're missing. And someone like myself that have read for that I've talked to you just endlessly about these euphemisms that they come up with these word salad stuff of their own, the very special meanings within these words. If you don't know what they're saying, the text looks normal. It looks like something's, you know, like it's the warm and fuzzies. But when you understand that the words are loaded with other meanings, in other words, there's volumes of information to study to find out what the real meaning of these words are, then you see coming through the document what looks nice and warm and fuzzy and embracing. Then you see the real horror of it. But here, the article I did pick up from Robert Malone sees some of these problems, and he's given his opinions on it, whatever my misgivings on Robert Malone are relative to the great Covey swindle when he popped up, and the importance that he started to become the face for some things, but he wasn't hitting it on all points. So I got to be careful about that. But he did reference this article. He did put it in, and then he adds his takes, and his takes are not incorrect. So to that extent, I'm going to go and use his article that was posted on his website in order for you to go read so you can see quickly some of the more basic arguments going on. So I'll be referencing that article, but not because it's a complete expose, not that I can do that, not that I expect any such full treatment here on any of these issues, anybody writing about it, which would take weeks, literally weeks to explain. And from probably many researchers' findings, such as the late Nikki Rapana and others more recently that I've read, and they're coming along to explain the depth of this thing. It's such a quiet group. Remember, there's thousands and thousands and thousands, tens of thousands of people working on these futures that they want. And so they produce a lot of work fast, and it's just almost overwhelming to even consider it. But I do want to touch this because this is very important. It's moving us along the path to perdition, if you will. And again, his article, Robert Malone's article, does have some interjection, which will help to expose some of the dangers as we move, as he sees them, because he includes the reference material in the text relative to this as well. And so I appreciated that, and I wanted to give him credit for that to help people. The document is the Pact for the Future, the Soviet Socialists Manifesto. But it's not, he called it the Socialist Manifesto, but it's not merely a socialist. But that too aside, again, this is so complex. This is coming as a paper from the United Nations called The Summit of the Future, Our Common Agenda. So if you weren't part of determining this future, common does not include you. And this is how you start to understand what's going on and who the authors are and whether you're involved or not and whether or not they're even talking about you. And this is how you start to figure out these plans and agendas are not for you at all. they're going to use you in some way. But reading here, on September 2024, the United Nations will be meeting in New York to discuss the vote on three new treaties. The first to be discussed is called the Pact for the Future. Robert Malone writes here, I am not going to insult you all by stating what I think about this document without having presented the treaty for all of you to pursue. Keep in mind that this is just one of three treaties, one pact and two annexes, up for vote and signing at the UN end of September. Rather than try to analyze this very long document to make it digestible, I have summarized, Robert Malone has summarized in its entirety and then bolded the elements that stand out to me as the most egregious. Although slogging through this document will take some time, I encourage everyone to do it. And as I've said, everyone needs to see the black and white in your eyes. You need to see these words. You need to understand what I've been saying ultimately about these words, the loaded coded words that need to be decoded as you're reading before you'll at all come close to understanding what this thing's about. And once you do, you'll be like me. You'll see exactly what the things in the world are doing to move these agendas forward. They're so subtle and incremental, it's sometimes very difficult. He writes then please share the Pact for the Future, the document, with your congressmen and senators. And he has links to the bottom of his Substack here, which you can get when you get the link at the Blogcaster or track it down yourself. The outrage here is that this document and its annexes are being decided by consensus prior to UN Summit for the Future meeting held in New York at the end of September. Let me just offer here, it may be an outrage to him. Consensus is the method. So, yeah, it is an outrage in a way. It's not a vote. It's not a, no one actually participates. It's like they talk about 93% of the scientists that are in consensus about climate change, and you find out that 93% is this little bitty group relative to all the other scientists that participated. And that's another part of the method I've explained for years about how they do that and why these administrative meetings are so important to get at least your quality material and sufficient statement in to object to. But the consensus, he's outraged. But that's the method. And so this is what I'm saying about people who can see the problem. They can see surface problems. We all see that. He's here to tell you that. But understand, it may be outrageous, but that's the process that's been going on for decades and decades. Where was everybody up until today about this is how I kind of look at all that. So, yes, it's outrageous they move this along. It's more outrageous than the political establishment side. But here he writes, we, the people, must demand that this treaty not be signed via the executive agreement process, but must be approved or disabled by two-thirds of the Senate. I think in law that would be required anyway, but point taken. You need to communicate with your senators and your congressmen. The senators are the ones that are going to actually be voting on a treaty. They need to be informed if they're not already, and they need to be informed by not some other people that have the lobby power because you're remaining silent, given that this is something that you want to engage in. Please consider contacting your senators and express your opposition to the UN's Pact for the Future, which places this treaty with 60 actions, sends a critical message of solidarity and collective action during a time of profound global transformation. This is the start of the globalized new world order that places socialism at its core. Now, because it was included, and I did read it, I had been avoiding it, but I did read it because it did include it, and again, thank you to Robert for doing that. Being available is important as well. And that's also where you're going to find Robert Malone's interjections in the things he adds to the parts that he put the text in for your consideration as well. I don't want to think that it's an insult to explain this as Malone suggests, but I agree people have to read this document so that they can make your own interpretations on it. Bring it to bear inside where you live, because this is all actually turning local. We're talking about it outside, but I've told you before, all the law to support this has been incrementally brought into your states already. So you need to see that black and white so you can recognize the black and white that's already in your locale, wherever you're at. And anyone who's listened to me explain this incremental destruction of our truth, of our way, and of life will find familiarity in the reading of this text as well. Just listen to my voice reiterating all this. You'll see this text come right out, almost come alive, if your mind would remember those words. And I'm going to go through a little bit of that today so that we can refresh our memory on what this is. This is a very serious attack, is the point why I'm bringing this up. And I don't think enough people appreciate that attack, and I don't think they know it's up around their ears already where they live. All your environmental laws, all your code enforcement, international code, all international stuff, look at all that. That's all part of this. It's been in there for decades and decades, and no one knew about it. And they're just really tidy. They just put this together, tidy it up, and so the outside looks like the inside, and the senators say, oh, why not? So what I'd like to say, instead of explaining more right now about all this, is to suggest reading what the text is and then reread it, removing all the terms you've heard me point out that are loaded in code words that require an incredible investment in study to decode. Do this instead in the first increment. If you can listen to my words here to go back and look and take out, you take these things out, you can start cutting to the chase of what they're after, but you take out the code words are what is the adulterations. Being these terms can only be properly decoded from the perspective of the authors, but not your perspective. We tend to do a lot. We want to put street language on this stuff. This is a very specialized language. So removing such code words as we read, removing sustainable development or any derivative term or concept such as sustainable or three pillars. Remove words also such as climate change or other terms denoting demonstrable fraud, if you know them. Most do not. And this is the thing I keep pointing out. You start to see it when you start realizing what they're doing with these terms. Remove terms like interconnected, common. What did I just say about that? If you weren't a part of the process, it's not common to you, and they don't care. They don't care about you. They're going to interfere with you, and because the common is what they're going to push. But it's not common like you and I might think of it. This is what I'm saying. Remove that word. Remove inclusion or inclusive. Remove solidarity. These are all code words, very damaging code words. When I say remove them, what you're doing is you're highlighting the coded damages that are sitting in there, the conditioning words. That when you take them out, you'll see the statements are nice and clean. Then they interject their coded meaning. And when you start to understand that, you can, when I say you read a sentence, you can read it with, you're reading one sentence, but you're interpreting it in two different ways. Well, the way it's most simply made to make it sound the warm and fuzzy part, but then you're seeing the deleterious code words that are setting you up for the takedown. So understanding everyone is included here, there is no need to create a special classes. If you're looking at, again, the incongruity, they talk about inclusiveness, yet they develop classes of people that they're going to protect. So that's an incongruity that can't make the document consistent at all. There is no inclusion when everybody's common. You see, if you can understand that. So there's no need to call. You can remove the terms women, children, indigenous, human, humanity, which immediately exposes the agenda to be contrary to mankind. So why do that? Why are these things separated and yet they are supposed to be inclusive? They create a requirement to be inclusive. But it's contradicting the whole comment that they start with. You remove future generations, being that's the overall purpose, isn't it? Unless future generations means something else deceptive, which it does. See, we think of future generations a little different than they treat it. It's not your generations. It's what they've put together. It's their generational thing of their process and agenda moving forward. We also remove and between sustainable development or any derivative and any other subject matter such as financial development or anything like that. The word and you read conjunctively in these documents. So when I'm saying remove it, you're removing the concept of the common conjunction. You're removing what they're targeting. And so that also then allows you to see what they're targeting because you've just removed it. So you take cognizance of these things. So in fact, you want to remove the conjunctive and anywhere it joins two elements needed to further the sustainable development or further the coded imposition such as responsible and sustainable. You read that, responsible and sustainable. If sustainable meant being responsible, see, it's what you see there. Why is that a modifier? If sustainable was already responsible, why do you have responsible and is exactly the problem. These are all the loaded words that they start putting in because being responsible comes with a what? that comes with someone telling you what that's going to be. They already defined what sustainable is. What we see now, sustainable is not responsible. So understand how you read what they're telling us. They aren't going to be in control of all this. Remove any funding demand, which would require a global taxation scheme. That's what they're after. So that's included as a modifier, even though they tell you they're doing it as a common thing. How you tax being taxed, if it actually is common. Taxes are not something common. Now, the United States thinks that they are because of the tax code, but that's not true either if you look closely. So look very carefully again when you're looking at these documents. They're explaining quite a few different things about the situation. And when you remove the coded words, you're seeing what they started with, which is simple life. And then they brought their conditioning world, their behaviorally controls, into the mix. And they make it look like it's some beneficial document. Understand that sustainable development is economic coercion. When you read, let's say, 20D, to refrain from economic coercion. Sustainable development is economic coercion. They're all complete incongruities within the document. You want to remove, then, therefore, because of that, Agenda 21 is a term. Prosperity, share, responsibility, resilient, world, global, planet, stakeholder, finance. You're removing innovation, transformation, capacity building. You remove prosperous world. These are all coded classes of things that are being used as tools as well. Prosperous world. The world, not perpetually indebted people, but a prosperous world is what they're talking about. They're talking about a prosperous world, not your life, not you. This is in a, if you will, the holistic they want to talk about. This is the more the Gaia thing. They're not talking to you at all. In fact, you're always the cancer. If they're talking whole and world, why are we talking global and planet? And so this is what I'm suggesting. The very comprehensive, what they're in different layers, which correspond to those sustainable development goals, those ESG, we call them ESGs now, but they're sustainable development goals. And that here, then you look it down and all that entails Action 48, where it says, we will strengthen the United Nations system. Again, it's not you, it's the common, them, the authors. And one of their actions is to strengthen the United Nations system. But that's just another step in the process of SMART. That's the end result of this SMART process. So if you see that, I see Action 48, well, there's SMART. I know it doesn't say SMART, but when you read this, you're looking at a whole different thing that they're talking about. And when I look at that, I say, well, this is to strengthen the UN, well, international law, which the Pact for the Future will become part of, and condition the rest, if you understand how this becomes part. Notice that the Pact intends to use the SDRs as well, when you read down, as I've explained, the BRICS bridge to this as well, notwithstanding the contrary. This is what they do in being, well, hypocrites in some regard. They say they're doing one thing, but they're not actually doing what they're saying. In this case, they're going to strengthen the UN, but that includes their economic and financial system. This document that says we will strengthen the United Nations, the international law will be including this Pact for the Future, which means that that will be conditioned by this whole document of 60 actions they're talking about. And so the SDRs, as I've explained, not to the contrary, notwithstanding about that too, go to 76A and their statement to achieve a more agile, responsive, and resilient United Nations, taking into account UN 2.0 vision of enhancing the organization's capabilities in innovation, data analytics, digital transformation, strategic foresight, and behavioral science to better support member states and deliver on its mandates. And so you have to go in and look at that, look at enhancing, remove it, vision. These words are their coded words that are empowering them, the adjectives and modifiers that are mean something else that bring their authority to bear on what you're going to do. And didn't I just list there the digital analytics, digital transformation, strategic foresight for behavioral sciences, is no different than the AI coming on in your token citizenship. So in that phrase right there, you would remove mandates. You want to remove, because these are the things of the consequences of where they're using this, that last list in these words. You remove mandates, misinformation in this document, disinformation, misuse, terrorist purposes. You remove equity, potential threats, because the author's global governance is going to determine these for thee. You talk about misuse, you're not determining the misuse. They're already doing that if you're looking in the news and paying attention. That's why I report on this stuff. They're already executing on this document. But they're going to do this after the fact. So you also have to remove technology, digital, international, emerging. These are the things that they use to identify the things they're going to have global governance, not government. Global governance over. In that short paragraph, they said what they want to do. But you saw all the things listed I've been telling you that they're after. This is a document today, happening right now. Not the Agenda 2030, not all the other agendas that they've had before, not all the other documents and annexations they've put together, not the sustainable development. This is put together as an implementing condition that they're going to impose on nation states. So they now, the states of what? No, that's the problem. They make the United Nations a nation, and then these are states. These countries are states in that nation. It's an adulteration. So there's a host of other coded terms. All these terms I've thrown out are usages foreign to Republican form representative government of the United States of America, the meanings of which would expand this treaty or pact to many volumes if they were telling the truth to include those term meetings. Then removing those terms while reading the text, ask yourself, why are all those coded conditions imposed upon simple aspirations? So this is all that I guess I'm telling you what goes on in my mind as I'm reading these documents. All these things are flying around in my head, trying to keep everything straight and making my potentials and possibilities and meanings and interpretations. And then making what are they talking about? What's their foundation? Now, how are they modifying it? So you see, these coded conditions are inside modifying simple things such as encourage and support young people to pursue entrepreneurship. Now, that doesn't sound too bad, but ask, why would any modifier be needed to that simple concept that instead we read, empower, encourage, and support young people to pursue entrepreneurship and innovation and transform their ideas into viable business opportunities. You cut out all the code words and you get encourage and support young people to pursue entrepreneurship. Why didn't they just say that? Because they just don't mean that. They don't just say that unless all those extra modifiers are meant to exploit young people as the mules to carry the sustainable development water, as it were, and under which the burden of the beast, they will be digitally bound, tracked, traced, and behaviorally controlled, sustainably, of course, in the minimum, and trafficked. So you can't put people in the mix of this unless you're in trafficking people. And what do they make special classes for? Women, children, and indigenous. They're trafficking in all those. Specifically and specially in these documents. It doesn't look like it. Oh, they're helping women. They're helping children. They're helping the indigenous. They're looking out for them. No, you look, go read, take the code words out. You'll see what they started with. Then you put the code words and say they can, all those code words are what they are going to determine and condition. So when you see that the coded modifiers are not needed, you should begin to see the coded foreign global controls built into this diabolical usurpation of at least the United States nation, our nation. And every nation, actually, when you look closer, it is applicable across the board, regardless of this status, because it's a foreign imposition to all of them. And all this could have the same aspirations without all the global governance technocratic intermeddling. If you looked at the cores, like I said before, we could simply go to encourage and support young people to pursue entrepreneurship. Let's just do that. We don't need the UN to do the rest, all that extra wordage that they put in. We don't need them to do that simple task. But we get all gung-ho and cheerleading about what they want, and all of a sudden we got a paragraph that's another 30-year words long, and every word is a coded word of control. And this technocratic usurpation is promised, as you've heard me say, repeatedly and often. And you can read the affirmation of that at 16. We reaffirm our pledge made on the occasion of the 75th anniversary of the United Nations to reinvigorate global action to ensure the future we want. How many times have I said the future that we want, the they want? They're going to ensure the future we want, not your plans for the future, the future that they have in store for you. And you can read that for the they, not you again, if you read 17. We are confident, that they write, that the 83rd session of the General Assembly, we will be well on course towards the better and more sustainable future we want for ourselves, our children, and all the generations who will come after us. That starts to sound a bit creepy. We can all think, oh, kumbaya, they mean us, but you weren't part of that commons, were you? You had nothing to do with this document. You had nothing to do with the language used in it. You just heard me say that they throw modifiers. You don't know anything about those. We could have gone to the simple, oh, just support young people in entrepreneurship. But no, we've got to add this, all this sustainable nonsense on top of it. All this obligation and servitude that has to be tracked and traced. So they know you're behaving correctly. So their children, not yours as well, those future generations. And if you think this we means you, go to the General Assembly and try to assert the future you want. So note in paragraph 17, the course toward a better and conjunctive sustainable future. Which future we want, we will build at 34, they say. We remain steadfastly focused and committed to achieving the Sustainable Development Goals by 2030. We will sustain our efforts to build the future we want by addressing existing, new, and emerging challenges to sustainable development by 2030 and beyond. So let me touch on that emerging challenges. They make them talk about the things against them, but the emerging challenges are the dupes that they're using. They call you an emerging nation, let's say, to bring you the benefit of their the future that they want. And we're going to hear a bit about how that, it's already applied. It's right in the news again this week. So remember, I talked about, I highlighted build, and I highlighted better. Remember build back better? Yeah, that's to build the future we want. Not you, we, the they, we. And this future we want is stated in the PACT treaty. So people have a question. A PACT is a treaty. It'll be dependent on how they treat it when they get to, the reason why they call it a pact so they can try and get executive signature on it. What they actually need to do is get to the Senate where it needs that two-thirds. So this is what Robert Malone's actually saying. Get this converted so we understand it's not a question. This is not a pact or a treaty. This is a treaty. And they're hiding it under the word pact. Again, another loaded word. So it stated it three times. This future we want is stated three times here for proper emphasis if you understand about that as well. If you think that phrase I used was some inconsequential quip, the they mean business here, folks. They've put it in writing, and it's being offered as a treaty, or as the government of Scotland restates it, the collective approach in delivering an employability system which is flexible, joined up, and responsive. One, introduction, no one left behind. Our strategy for placing people at the center of the design and delivery of employability services promotes a strengthened partnership approach where the spheres of government work more collaboratively. I'm emphasizing these words also should be removed. With third and private sector to identify local needs, so warm and fuzzy, and make informed evidence-based decisions, so scientific, flexing these to meet emerging labor market demands. Could describe a public-private partnership prison labor camp, couldn't it? Like we already enjoy in the U.S., right? I'm telling you, it's already working. They're just putting it in paper, and it needs to be stopped. And all I can say there is it is better to stop it now, this thing, than fight to get back what it's taken or imposed, is imposed through it as well, from a judge or Supreme Court who are members of another global non-governmental organization, the Bar Association, which already agrees to promote sustainability in every state of the United States. I've talked about all of this before. It's all here in this document, through and underneath the covers of it. You can't just read the words like I've seen people, I don't see anything wrong. Well, you don't know the coded language that's in it. This is really a neutron bomb for our nation, the United States of America, as it is for many people. Maybe not quite so much for the so-called emerging nations, because they've been beat down by the West and the IMF and the World Bank and all that, and the dollar weaponized long before in loans, but notwithstanding all that. So this judiciary in the United States is not a judiciary independent of foreign undue influence as far back as the Bar Association's 1991 House Delegates Resolution to promote the future that they want, as I read to you in years back when I was bringing this stuff up and showing you it's all there. This is not an inconsequential point. I've thrown this in two lawsuits, one that I was a party to writing and one that I was helped to writing in two different states. Now, ultimately, they were proved out at the end, but the courts will not address them. They will not even hear your case. So be cautious on that. But when you're going to lose a case, it's better not to be found wrong either. So you want them back off. You want to back them off as well. So anyway, it's already been presented to the courts. Those members do not want to bring the shame upon the brotherhood, so-called. But another point here to be made in this reported pact that does not, within its four corners here then, because of these coded terms, provide full disclosure. It's deceitful, and it's unconstitutional. And this needs to be denounced to call open attention to the problem it is, and rejected for that reason alone, when you're going to your senators and stuff. When you know this terminological deception, then you start to show what it's really saying, or at least to show that it's not saying what it looks like on its surface. So it's also said in the reports I was reading about this to try to find out, well, how has it got this far? The United States has to be involved. Well, the United States ambassador is working on this pact, actively contributing to terminology. So to work on this deceptive pact is a misappropriation, a fraud, waste, and abuse of public funds as well. And she needs to be removed on top of anything else you might consider. And most importantly of all, to reiterate this document, which does not fully disclose its intention within its four corners due to the coded terms and foreign usages. We didn't talk about that yet. The foreign usages, contrary to the Constitution that's been establishing the United States of America, is required by the senators to be known who might vote on his passage to also denounce it. So, as I say, to expose its problems now and reject it, as Robert Malone says, so he's got two steps here. I say denounce it, and he says reject it, which I agree. So we'll put it together, the and. We're going to do both. The other option here is, I was thinking through, these senators can also be recalled by the respective states to resign if they don't, as well as the state defends itself. And again, I'm not talking like this is going to be easy, you just show someone the lie, because the states are bought as well. They're all subject. So this is why I've been saying it requires a lot more integration with your understanding about how these things work. It's already kind of been accepted. Our lawsuit in 2013 exposed it's systemic. The point is, if we're not calling it out, we're not calling out the things that we've watched recently in the Supreme Court go back 50, 60 years and say, yeah, that wasn't what's supposed to be done. We got to fix that. These things can still be fixed, and they have to, because they're a destruction of the established form of organic government, notwithstanding the Lincolnization, notwithstanding the war of terror, which this is a part of as well. But it seems foreign. Remember, the United States is working on it. So you would recall those senators to resign because they're not denouncing it, not rejecting it. Or then next you have to say, vote them out. And be told that that's what's going to happen to them. And this is the political pressure that people do have. One bit left. Because this fraud is being exposed, and you can make the difference if you do, as these holier-than-thou, they admit, remembering the Pope's call to unity under these global green religion indenturements as well. Remember, I mean, this is all part of that. This is a global action here that they're taking. They say here in the document, we promised we would leave no one behind. Sounds just like George Bush, No Child Left Behind, don't it? The Education Act that transformed education, and then you watch the disaster unfold. Yeah, that's the modernization That's what it's like. That's just what it does. It's just like that. That's whether posed by executive Republicans or executive Democrats. It works the same. Bush was a Republican. But they, through the UN, are not just interested in the children, but intend no one is left behind. No one escapes, especially the children. And you'll see that from the Pact at 18. Sustainable development and financing for development. What did I say? Take out sustainable development and financing and development. You don't even have a sentence there. You take away their power. You don't allow them. But this is sustainable development and financing. Conjunctive. Again, your ESGs are attached to financing. You're going to see this coming up. Get there. Sustainable development and financing for development. We have made some progress, but the achievement of sustainable development goals is in peril. They're admitting here. Very fabulous statement. Progress on most of this is supposed to be in a, this is a treaty that's supposed to be the future, and they're saying it's in peril. Shouldn't even be in this document to show you the political nature that it is. But progress on most of the goals is either moving too slowly or has regressed below the 2015 baseline. Years of sustainable development gains are being reversed. So there you have it. It's in peril. That's their Achilles heel. So our work to counter the propaganda has not been in vain. They're admitting it right there. This pact is the they throwing a Hail Gaia to try and repair the problem that we've been imposing upon them by not being quiet. Certainly behind the woodshed. Certainly going after the Pope. Remember, 2015. This is an important day, an important year. I called this out. And we were talking about it for weeks, episodes in September of that year. So your energetic rejection as well of their self-serving pact empowering global tyranny under measures that can be accomplished by peoples, not by global government, just people by people, as they choose, without all the coded global governance, warm and fuzzy deception, they're in peril, and we can do it without this. That's their Achilles heel. To stop it in its tracks and trace requires that it is time for you to get behind that woodshed now. I know some of you don't want to do much of this. I'm just telling you, it's already around your neck. And these are one of the main cruxes of how they're bringing all that you heard. I read that paragraph. Digital technologies, big data, digital token citizenship. It's right here. And so it's going to take, like you're watching, different ways of engaging. And I don't have any one way that I think can work. I think it's all of it, all of us to do. But it can be slowed up. It can be stopped. You saw they found reversals. We were able to reverse it since 2015. So that's an encouragement to me. So all we got to do is just get in the way. No different than that supposed WHO treaty, the health treaty. Just get in the way. Call it out. Make so much noise they can't. Remember, a long time ago when they tried to get the sustainable development in, it took one guy with a map, and I can't remember what it's all called, what they were called, to present this at Congress or in the Senate. To show what was actually going to happen with the takeover of the United States and the lands and the control. To stop that. And so this is our model, if you will, that I've been hoping we would be more integrated with. I'm going to include that Scotland government, No One Left Behind delivery plan. Delivering us. The way they say this. Up. Okay? So that you can read it yourself. None of this stuff, I'm just reading, I'm just talking. I was reading from documents and interlacing my thoughts with it. But it's written down. These are all official documents. This is not just me making stuff up. I never have been, and that's the whole point about, I think, the thing I bring to whatever I'm talking about. There's no fluff at all. There's just hard-nosed, we're looking at a problem, and this is where the enemy is, this is what they're doing, and here's where we can subvert all of it, if we would just do so. It is a foreign imposition that's been crawled inside the country, it's like a cancer that's metastasized, and it's slowly killing us off. This is BTWRLM 596. As we now move into a different type of alien, a different type of foreigner. We were going to talk about this last week. We're going to talk about it now. Talking about things alien, together with the recent Chiefs Association document, I'll have a link for you. I'll touch it a little bit here, but you'll have a link in the broadcaster. It's called Reference Guide Unidentified Anomalous Phenomena, UAP, put out by the organization called Major Cities Chiefs Association, appearing to anticipate this upcoming credibility promotion, I think it is, U.S. Congress to hold a huge, huge UFO hearing. Quote, we also want to try to continue to build credibility within the office AARO so more of the public can feed in sightings and have a place and a platform to send information and inquiry, she added, because that's eventually what this office is supposed to do. Now, am I beginning to become exceedingly cynical, or does this look more like a propaganda effectiveness monitoring program? We talk about these UFOs, UAPs, and we go read that reference document, and I won't go through too much. There's just interesting little things that they put out. Who are these major city chiefs, the association? I don't know who these folks are. But they make an interesting pitch. They have now a document you can get the link to. Very interesting to see what they're saying. They're trying to get more people to make more reports. But this seems to be, again, a promotion for some kind of a compliance control monitoring system as well. Very interesting to me. The core issue that seems to stand out, how they get the power to do this, is to say there's a threat to the helicopters at the cop. I'm assuming these are police chiefs as well. I, again, didn't track down who this organization is. It's just an internet website. I don't know who these people are anyway. But emergency helicopters may have trouble with these. Yet you look at the document and there's really been never any trouble. And so trying to keep this all straightened up, very interesting. They're trying to figure out there's been a lot of people watching and seeing the stuff that they're trying to ask for more reports on. That part, I don't have a problem with. What is it being used for? Am I so cynical to understand and believe the government, the military, is setting us up for the so-called disclosure stuff? And again, they're hiding the actual thing that may be there underneath this fluff, if you will. And they come by plausible means. And so I looked through, I said it was very interesting, flying craft, helicopters having problems. Yet you look in the text and they don't really declare there's been a real problem. Was my first clue. Maybe we're looking at something, maybe not quite what it really is. I'm not saying denounce it. I'm saying be very careful as we are now leading into this more and more involved sphere of deception. What's real, what's not. And I want to give it the due to what's owed, but not to those that are being deceptive. As we continue to be deceived as they monitor what's going on, the FDA approves a vaccine for Mpox. Warns it may cause death in vaccinated people they come in contact with. Well, that's a pretty good warning, isn't it? ACAM 2000, a vaccine approved last month by the FDA for Mpox. Remember, we've identified the Mpox as the name for the novel stuff, not the monkeypox, which is a form of the blisters that you get on your skin, and a form of herpes as well. The natural one. Remember, there's two. Mpox was renamed by the WHO. Not the rock group, not the owl, not the little people from Whoville, but the WHO, World Health Organization, made that new mnemonic, that new coded phrase for what they were putting together for us. But this is now warned, this FDA now warns it could cause death to vaccinated people. Wow. That's pretty interesting. Last month, the FDA said Mpox comes with a list of serious complications, including myocarditis, death, and fetal death. The FDA's medication guide also warns that people who receive the vaccine may spread it to unvaccinated people who also risk developing vaccine side effects, including death. A lot of death here, isn't it? Supposed to be health, right? I thought. Made by Emergent BioSolutions, a company specializing in vaccines for biochemical warfare, threats such as anthrax and smallpox was approved for smallpox in 2007. However, on August 29th, the FDA issued an expanded supplement approval of ACAM 2000's use against Mpox. Since then, social media users have been posting clips of the FDA's ACAM 2000 medication guide, which warns the vaccines may cause serious complications in both the vaccinated person and those with whom they have come in contact with up to 6 weeks after getting the shot. You don't try to figure out that they're trying to figure out how to scare us amongst ourselves like they did before, but listen to the consistency with the great Covey swindle warp speed jab. Listen to that. Remember, we were talking about the question, Were they shedding and shedding spikes or whatever they were doing to get into our systems if we were unvaccinated? Looks like there's a possibility, don't you? If we want to roll that back just a little bit. Hot on the heels on confirming the mishandling of all these modernized on purpose as planned, in particular Medicaid eligibility determinations by algorithmic illegality, which is the real meaning of AI, I think. It's algorithmic illegality, AI. This week, the overall numbers are in testifying to the success of the Modernization Act, such as the Obamacare, not changed to eliminate the corporate or insurance monopolies through Trumpscare, despite all the hoopla to the contrary. And here, hot on the heels is not spelled heels. It's the pun intended. Thank you very much. American healthcare, dead last in rich nation rankings. Who'd have thunk it, folks? I only predicted it back in 2010, but that's okay. Don't listen to behind guy behind a woodshed at all. Don't contribute. Don't help. Don't give us opinions. Don't thumbs up. Don't let anybody else know that there's a secret out there. America's healthcare dead last in rich nation rankings. Soon to be an emerging nation as they bring parity to everybody in the global governance system. The U.S. healthcare system continues to lag far behind other high-income countries, an analysis by the Commonwealth Fund shows. Of the 10 reasons the article gives for this bleak analysis, I want to give the one a ways down in the list that struck me the most, that the U.S. has the highest rates of preventable and treatable deaths for all ages, notwithstanding that last article about the FDA and its vaccines for mpox. Now, if that doesn't start to say it all right there, that the U.S. has the highest rates of preventable, treatable deaths, I'm not sure what else will. It sort of answers what all the money provided isn't going to making good doctors as well here, more than going to medical policy administrators or HARMA, where we read in the first entry that the U.S. showed the worst overall performance despite spending more per capita on health care than any other nation. While the second entry that you'll read says the U.S. ranked lowest in both accessibility and healthcare outcomes, with 26 million Americans having no insurance and a quarter of the working age population underinsured, can be attributed in part to the Deloitte case I highlighted last episode, that the judge calling out its illegal denials, that third-party contractor, the nationwide, remember, illegal denials of the care and the excessive rigor beneficiaries were put through, also determined to be unlawful, though maybe not wholly the cause of the health system to keep up with outside of those massive prescription drugs and doctor-induced HARMA, a thing outside of its control caused by the U.S. government war on drugs. We also then read of 107,000 people died from overdoses in 2023 amid a raging substance abuse crisis, according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. That number is of the dead and departed, not those strong enough to keep lingering on this to suffer more and further medical abuse. Because of the United States medical system focus on disease, symptom control, not cause cure for those things. And not unlike, as you've heard me talk repeatedly over the years, wildfire policies on fire management instead of fire suppression. Curing the ill is not nearly as profitable or destructive as it was be placed in the hands of the arsonist. And so this is the these are the policies, I'm telling you, the global governance policies already inside your government and working already. This is an example. Recent surveys indicate the healthcare is among the top priorities for voters in November presidential election. You think? Sure is. But not much has changed since the destruction of your healthcare system was modernized to be this way, monopolized for profits over the 20 years before these voters got here to grumble. Remember, I've been talking about this all this time. Obamacare beneficiaries successfully lobbying your representatives for this lucrative privilege, monitoring their success by that grumbling. This miserable care is the law. You didn't get in and do it like the old lobbyist is, and it's another weakness in this country. We the people would be having to spend our life lobbying Now, no one's going to do that, but I'm just suggesting to you where one of the big weaknesses is. There really should be, if you will, some reforms about lobbying, although I don't know the Supreme Court would allow that, because then it would take away the ability to throw global governance inside your domestic laws. So this miserable care is the law. No executive officer can change that. And every candidate claiming reform outside of the law is a liar, as we've been hearing in this election cycle. So welcome to your postmodern, post-truth, plunder, and modernization future that they planned for you when you didn't, when you remained silent. In fraudulent handling by healthcare officials, we hear House report shows California's COVID fraud was so much worse than you think. I'm going to offer that it was even worse than that. We'll get to there. How bad was the scale of fraud and the governmental incompetence that permitted it during COVID? Unfortunately, prosecutors and federal officials are still tallying up the damage. The House Oversight Committee, why didn't they listen behind the woodshed? We were talking to them about that years ago, weren't we? Well, anyway, here's your accountability now, coming after the fact and too late. But maybe a little bit. We'll see. The House Oversight Committee recently released a report summarizing its own findings on the proliferation of pandemic scams, while other federal analyses have focused on the effects of, at the federal level, the committee report showed how incompetence at the state level, where unemployment benefits actually get administered, sowed the seeds of COVID-era grifts. I almost got excited when I saw state-level incompetence. Then they moved on to unemployment benefits. You see how they did that? You see how they moved the point over to some other thing, which is a problem, but it's not the problem. This is where I'm going to talk about how it's worse. This is the cover-ups are the actual incompetence. It wasn't just the unemployment benefits that went on here. What was the official problem that's even worse? It was that the local health officials weren't required, and no one looked to see if they comply with local health, the communicable disease law, to demonstrate a non-fraudulent infectious agent upon which the people would be using those benefits. So it's way worse. And so by looking at your benefit, your employment system, unemployment system, which is federal, state imposed, but looking at that, you focus the problem on the wrong point. Just as I said they'd be doing. And here we are. But fraud, they're saying that the prosecutors are looking at it, but they're not going to look at the root cause, which is going to protect you in the future if they did. Getting your local officials to abide by the law, which seems to be just a side statement, if anything. So understand the seriousness of that problem. Oh, they caught some unemployment fraud, and it's vast. But what do you think when you had officials that didn't say there was nothing there to not work because of? There was no reason to not go to work. No, that's a big deal right there. And I'm not saying that, again, in something real, there's a process. The due process should have been adhered to. When the prosecutors are going after fraud, they're not going after the failed due process that you did not get. And so as I told you, the False Claims Act is frauds against the government. This is that problem. It's when you mess with the government funding, not that there's a fraud, not when the companies are fraudulently giving information about their product, so-called. So let's pay attention to that deception, and we see these stories coming forward to point out different aspects of the problem, but they're not the core aspect. And that's going to be that's an ongoing method that goes on around us. And so I want to touch back onto the Covey swindle. Reading from the report that I was referencing on the other story, that is far worse. It appears to be the government cover-up as well, as I said, the state and government, not merely some unemployment system is handling. And I want to touch this based in the report, not just in my opinions or that article. Remember here, and never forget, it was the dereliction of the state health care officials that allowed this need of the benefits in the first place when the officials were derelict in their official duties of communicable disease law to demonstrate that thing. So the infectious agent, or that it was in a principle of contagion, somebody, man or woman, a body, as the law requires. Examining the widespread fraud in pandemic unemployment relief programs is the document. Early in the COVID-19 pandemic, Congress created the pandemic relief program, including expanded unemployment benefits to provide a quick disbursement of benefits to displaced workers and allow the flexibility to the states to prioritize the speed over eligibility. However, Congress did not intend for quick payments to allow states to avoid verifying eligibility in the long term. So here we have another evidence of what I was telling you about. No one slowed down and watched the law have to work. They just ran with it, and no one stopped them. This is what I was saying about your privately, your due process, your habeas. Is that stopped? Several states neglected to implement basic identity verification services until several months into the pandemic, even though a large percentage of the benefits had already been paid. The conclusion of this report, I'm not going to read the whole thing, the committee's investigations found that while Congress and executive branch actions placed states in an unprecedented position to implement temporary pandemic unemployment programs and process claims quickly, several large states, including California, New York, and Pennsylvania, Biden's home state, lost billions of taxpayer dollars in improper and fraudulent payments that will likely never be recovered. Sounds like an election, doesn't it? These are the benefits that could have been directed to American workers who had recently been laid off or furloughed due to lockdowns across the nation, while the United States had never may never face a crisis like the COVID-19 pandemic again. So that's an interesting preparatory clause, being the WHO, not the Rock Group or the OWL or the Little People of Whoville, but the World Health Organization presents to us here. It's a despicable deceptively named a broker here, this WHO operator in the world, the global governance world of pharma. The World Health Organization says there is going to be another worse pandemic coming up. So why would that report say we may never face a crisis like this? Is the problems with that's going on? They've never identified who the players are and who's being played. The players and the played. Who are they? Because the law was never filed. It says while the United States may never face a crisis like this, and yet the WHO says it's going to happen. It's never going to face another crisis like this. Really? What nonsense are these official reports about? These are misappropriation of public funds that I can tell about that also don't see any accountability. Congress, executive branch, and states should heed the lessons of how the pandemic UI programs were, unemployment insurance programs, were designed and implemented to avoid waste, fraud, and abuse during future economic downturns that might again require temporary unemployment insurance benefits programs. Of the 22 findings, none identified the failure of the state to comply with its local communicable disease law as the way to avoid the fraud, waste, and abuse entirely. Even the one committed by Congress in appropriating those funds for a thing that could not happen in any jurisdiction in the United States, the term pandemic, not even existent in the states, that Congress made a law to help unemployment, was another fraud. Of the 18 recommendations you read, none require that the state non-fraudulently demonstrate it can apply for the funds appropriated to verify and validate it had a right to the funds based in a fraud. And the conclusion does not mention the fraud, waste, and abuse committed by the House Committee on Oversight and Accountability Investigation in making a report failing to identify that all states and the federal government fraudulently engaged in a concerted, repeated scheme and artifice through wire fraud. I'm talking RICO here as well. Maybe the government can't be sued for it, but we can have the elements. Through wire fraud, contrary to both state and federal law, particularly to the communicable disease law, but not to the exclusion of other laws, allowing those appropriated funds to be fraudulently claimed by other criminal opportunists, be when they were made available. But shouldn't the federal and state governments heed that lesson first? And that's how much more worse than even the Federalist article knows about that I read or dares to report. And this is the main problem. As I keep saying, I look around for information who's actually critically analyzing this and giving people the proper information. I still haven't found it. Everyone's falling short, misdirecting people. And yet you'll see the government wants to take the sole proprietorship over what is information and what they then can determine is misinformation. And yet this whole report is missing the main point, what it was paid to go do. And because it does that, we're going to see the problem again, just like the WHO planned it, because I believe these folks are involved in doing it. Otherwise, I think we would have seen somebody in the world mentioning, not after the fact, before the fact, that there was laws being violated, that people's due process rights were being run down, or not even considered. And as I said, they did that because no one stepped up and said, wait a minute, I got a due process right, right here. Right here it is. Look at it. You can't move until we do this. And I'm still astonished. But here we have news today, all the fraud, and yet it's not the fraud that starts and allows the rest, is how we're going down as a nation. We're never looking at the first step of failure. We're looking at the 10th step, if that much. And part of this method of deception, it comes quickly on the heels of now getting into that other thing we talked about inside that document of the future, the pact for the future, would be the digital transformation, the use of digits and social media, giving to a global governance system the ability to determine what's misuse, determine what's misinformation. Remember, you think it has to be the truth. They only are interested in what provides the support for the agenda. It doesn't have to be the truth. And they're deciding, not you, under that pact. So this comes on the heels of this condition that we've been hearing in the news. After CEO's arrest, Telegram says it will now turn some bad actors' data over to law enforcement, as the governments are already eating away at these digital restraints at this point. Messaging platform Telegram is making some new concessions around safety and user privacy after the arrest of the co-founder and CEO Pavel Durov in France last month. That was fast, right? How fast this works. Telegram is making some changes in an effort to reduce criminal activity on the platform, Durov said Monday in a post on the app. Boy, why would you want to say that? I thought he said before they were controlling that. But here we are. Here's what he's saying. This is what happens when you get compromised, correct? Chief among them, Telegram has updated its terms of service and privacy policy to note it will hand over the IP addresses and phone numbers of users who violate its rules to authorities in response to valid legal requests, it says. The platform says it will also disclose all user data that is shared with law enforcement officials in quarterly transparency reports. So now you're part of their corporation, aren't you? You just get on the board. But there you have it. He's broke. He's now compromised. And this is not unusual in a way, but now there's no resistance at all, where he was trying to show you he was principled, only to where he's going to be locked up or they're going to cost him some bucks. And then we see another social media coming into conformance. Musk's X caves in Brazil. Caves into Brazil. The social media platform has shut down in the country for 3 weeks for failing to censor accounts spreading disinformation. You just got to interject again. Do you understand these words are consistent with the pact for the future? Okay? This is what they're after. This is what they're going to control at a governance level. Your constitutions mean nothing when it starts to come down. Again, these third-party liabilities aren't constitutionally protected. Social media platform X says it's moving to comply with demands issued by Brazil's Supreme Court in the hope of reversing a nationwide ban ordered by the country's top judge last month. And now I didn't fulfill a statement. I don't know if I fulfilled the next statement. It wasn't just the judge. They did review that Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court, more judges agreed. Whatever my sense of that is irrelevant to the story of what the report was. More judges of the Supreme Court said, for the most part, it was proper. And what wasn't was that they were removed that charge if you did use it relative to the users. They just took away that $9,000, but it's still holding in the report. So for nearly 3 weeks, X had been inaccessible to Brazilian users. Using a VPN to access the site carries the threat of a fine of almost $9,000. That's after Justice Alexandre de Moraes banned the platform for failing to censor accounts that spread disinformation. So it's after the fact, that's just what I was saying before, with this pact for the future, is just this thing already working in the world. The platform's owner, Elon Musk, a vocal advocate for free speech, we're told, has until now refused to back down, describing the orders as an attempt to censor voices on his platform and calling the justice an evil dictator cosplaying as a judge. Pretty bold statement to say right before you go ahead and capitulate to that judge. But anyway, this is the way the game's played, I suppose. However, on Friday, X's legal representatives announced that the platform was taking steps to comply with the Brazilian court's demands to help resolve the impasse and get the ban on the site lifted. These steps include paying the fines X owes, blocking the accounts that De Moraes has previously accused of propagating misinformation and of undermining Brazilian democracy, and naming a legal representative in the country. On Saturday, Brazilian Supreme Court confirmed X's moves and gave the company 5 days to file all the necessary paperwork validating its new legal representative. It also reiterated its orders to block the accounts that had previously been named by a probe into hate speech and misinformation, and to pay fines totaling over $3 million. That's going to take some of them blue check payments, aren't they? It's unclear which accounts have been targeted, as the probe is confidential. So remember this, there is no speech free from being labeled a digital militant or disinformation here. This becomes important as the pact for the future just adopted by the UN nation's members and its annex digital goals. Remember I talked to those annexations, go read, those are digital goals. Ensuring the future we want. No, not you, we, the they, we. Remember, listen, it's been already in the news. All this stuff is already in the news, and it's been in the words of the Pact of the Future the United States has helped to bring along, if you think the United States is caring about your First Amendment right, or due process, or having you to go to court to determine that what you said was illegal and then strike it. No, none of that seems to be hitting the pages anywhere. And then reading from the report, it's far, far worse than that. It appears to be a government cover-up to run cover for the real culprits here that I was talking about before, getting back to the frauds that are going on. There's frauds in, like, Elon Musk presenting that he has a free speech, you know, abolitionist. No, it's just another type of fraud. They cover up themselves. So I want to cover that. But how bad this thing starts to get relative to the fraud and the pandemic, get back to that, because this information, see, trying to figure out how to, when they are telling us that they will tell us after the fact that we are in crime, if you will, and that there hasn't been any due process for that failure, it's not much different than we watched the states going into the Covey swindle. And they start giving out benefits without any checks and balances. This is another due process failure. I've been talking about the communicable disease failure for you. But this becomes a communicable disease failure that addresses people who accept that it was true. And then there's those that exploit that problem. And moving into what we heard in the Pact of the Future and the digital transformation and digital systems and things like that, Ellison declares Oracle all-in-one on AI mass surveillance, says it'll keep everyone in line. I want to remind you about this, particularly, they'll get to the point at the end, the behavioral control that's built in. Remember, it's built into the Pact of the Future. I read the paragraph. Again, I look at these news articles, they read to me a whole lot different. They're so much more integrated than I think people give them credit for. AI is on the verge of ushering in a new era of mass surveillance, says Oracle co-founder Larry Ellison, adding that the juggernaut is ready to serve as the technological backbone for such applications. Those applications, including keeping everyone on their best behavior through the use of constant real-time machine learning-powered monitoring, Ellison made the comments near the end of an hour-long chat at the Oracle Financial Analyst Meeting. I hope you're putting all these together. This is all about their economy, stupid. They're telling us exactly what this is about. The pack of the future speaks right to this guy saying what he's talking about, Oracle. If you don't think they understand what's happening and on the cutting edge of being there. At the Oracle Financial Analyst meeting last week, during a question and answer session in which he unsurprisingly painted Oracle, a longtime U.S. government contractor that has done various IT deals lately with AWS and Microsoft as the AI infrastructure player, quote, AI is hot and databases are not, he said, making Oracle's part of the puzzle seemingly less sexy but no less important, at least according to the man himself. AI systems have to have well-organized data or else they won't be that valuable. I read that. I'm thinking Grimmer. That's what he used to do, the database. That's what he was all about, making those databases. That's how the white elephant was working and worked so well because he could handle that database that he created. The fact that some big names in cloud computing and Elon Musk's Grok have turned to Oracle to run their AI infrastructure means it's clear Oracle is doing something right, claimed now CTO Ellison. I'm going to say not just doing something right. They know something. They know and they're acting in the direction that they know it's going because no one's trying to stop it or has stopped it. If Elon and Satya Nadella want to pick us, that's a good sign. We have tech that's valuable and differentiated, Ellison said, adding, one of the ideal uses of that differentiated offering, maximizing AI's public security capabilities. Envisioning the combination of Oracle Cloud Infrastructure and advanced AI, Ellison predicted a world of constant accountability for the Americans of tomorrow, where computers keep everyone in line. And I say, did you hear future generations of the subject, just as I mentioned that when I was talking about the Pact of the Future? Did you just hear that right there? Accountability for Americans of tomorrow, where computers keep everyone in line. Quote, the police will be on their best behavior because we're constantly watching and recording everything that's going on, Ellison told analysts. He described police body cameras that were constantly on with no ability of the officers to disable the feed to Oracle. Even requesting privacy for a bathroom break or a meal or only meant sections of the recording would require a subpoena to view. Not that the video feed was ever stopped. AI would be trained to monitor officer feeds for anything untoward, said Ellison, and it could prevent abuse, of police power and save lives. But what about the monitoring of your feed? Eat the bugs enough? Or your life? Will your camera ever turn off? Don't bother answering. He'll answer that. Your wishes won't matter anyway if the sustainable gulag is put in place. It reads, but Oracle doesn't just want a hand in keeping the cops accountable. Quote, citizens will be on their best behavior because we're constantly recording and reporting, Ellison added, though it's not clear what he sees as the source of those recordings, about police body cams or publicly placed security cameras. Quote, there are so many opportunities to exploit AI, he said, while they exploit you. Behaviorally controlled. Sound familiar? Ellison wants Oracle's share of the pie to keep growing regardless of the potential privacy implications. We reached out to Oracle, the author of this article, to get a clarification about some of Ellison's statements, but haven't heard back. As we referenced Microsoft earlier, we have it now. If you hadn't any doubts about how integral AI will be to the richest investment banker's support for the Siberian gulag, while they get the cheapest power, leaving you with the most unaffordable. Microsoft and Abu Dhabi's MGX to back $30 billion BlackRock AI Infrastructure Fund, run through the BlackRock's Global Infrastructure Partnership Fund, which it acquired for $12.5 billion earlier this year, the Global AI Investment Partnership. You think they're investing in this if it's not going anywhere, folks? The Global AI Investment Partnership, the digital annexation to the future pact, the pact for the future, they call it. The Global AI Investment Partnership plans to raise another up to $30 billion in equity investments. Another $70 billion could come via leveraged debt financing. That's leveraged funding. It's on your back right there. Quote, mobilizing private capital to build AI infrastructure like data centers and power will unlock a multi-trillion dollar long-term investment opportunity, said Larry Fink, the Fink chairman of CEO BlackRock. Quote, data centers are the bedrock of the digital economy, and these investments will help power economic growth and create jobs and drive AI technology innovation. These financial partnerships will, do you understand the terms I was giving to you before in the Pact for the Future are right here, and you cut them out, it's theirs. You now see they are owning this life. They're owning the control. This financial partnership will not only help advance the technology, but enhance national competitiveness, security, and economic prosperity. Well, you don't have much to say when you take out all the coded words, right? All those coded words are going to be their exploitation controls. Earlier this year, Microsoft announced a $10 billion, 10 gigawatt deal with Brookfield Asset Management to support the energy infrastructure needed for AI. Notice the banksters, like bankrupt, get economic prosperity, while the Siberian Gulag inmates get inclusive shared prosperity through A2030 and beyond that global pact for the future tells you about. Article reads, earlier this year, Microsoft announced that $10 billion, 12, 10 gigabyte deal for AI. Not cheap for you. Of the new investment, Bayo Ogunlesi, CEO of the Global Infrastructure Partners, said, quote, there is a clear need to mobilize significant amounts of private capital to fund investments in essential infrastructure. Talk about your infrastructure? No, their infrastructure to put in place the global gulag and the token citizenship system, the global digital panopticon. One manifestation of this is the capital required to support the development of AI. Quote, we are highly confident that the combined capabilities of our partners and our partnership will help accelerate the pace of investment in AI-related infrastructure. So this includes being powered by a nuclear power plant. Another and most recent evidence being the reactor one of Three Mile Island, the site of the worst nuclear disaster in the United States in 1979, being brought back online, the electrical power being bought by Microsoft that was incentivized by Biden's climate bill, which contains billions of tax credits. Or as did former Microsoft CEO Bill Gates when investing $1 billion in a nuclear power plant that broke ground in Commemore, Wyoming, in June. The plant will power homes and AI. So, or these nuclear plants, or at least until the AI activates, they'll be using these nuclear plants until the AI activates the human pod power plants. It will harvest its energy from your willing, if unorthodox, participation. AI will have also anticipated it is much easier to flush a pod than to deal with nuclear waste disposal or that threat to itself of deterioration due to radiation. So I think we're seeing the Matrix is not a movie here, right in the news. Nuclear power is the cheap nuclear power is being given to AI. Think about this. Think about what's going on as your power bill's going up, as so-called green takes over and takes you down. I hope I've said something today. As fast as I do it, put some points on the board for you. Get interested to get action, more importantly, most importantly, wherever you can, even to recognize the problems locally and to start to consider what you'll do with that. I've talked about a lot of these things before and what you do about it. I've mentioned a couple things here today. If you're listening, it's there to give us an insight. It's not over. It's just that we're going to hand it to them because we're either apathetic, we are distracted, we don't act to stop the things that come against us. You're not going to save someone else. You're going to have to save yourself. That's how this is going to have to work. And I'm saying if we get enough of us, that'll be a mutual wall of protection as we move this forward and providing examples to people. I hope something I said helps you this week. This has been BTWRLM 596, and I'll be with you next week. Tech Diffs, or nature willing.
Echoes call, the hour is near. Behind the woodshed, the truth you'll hear. Every Sunday, the clock strikes three. Hal's voice rolls like thunder, fierce and free. Pull up a chair, lean in close. Lessons to learn, dose by dose. Behind the woodshed, no stone unturned.
Next week, heed the call. Behind the woodshed, standing tall.